You're listening to The Back 40, the podcast for Ontario farmers, covering topics and issues that matter most to Ontario agriculture. Brought to you by Trillium Mutual Insurance, bringing the ag community together one podcast at a time. I'm the host of The Back 40, Mike Brine, agribusiness specialist at Trillium Mutual Insurance. Been a great number of changes that have taken place in the agricultural community over the last year with COVID-19 pandemic. We've changed how we get out and how we socialize with others. One of the things that has always been a part of the fabric of the rural community has been trade shows. It's always a great opportunity for people to get out for a day and go and see the latest technology and talk to the different suppliers and vendors and get a sense of what's coming down the pipe in the community. That's one of the things that has been lost. Most of our trade shows have been canceled over the last year because we simply haven't been able to get together in the same spot. Today, we're talking with Kevin Varley. Kevin is an insurance broker with Jocelyn Insurance Brokers in Elmira. He has been involved in several different trade shows on the organizing committee. In 2017, he was involved with the organizing committee for the International Plowing Match that was held near Walton. And he has also been involved for several years with the Ontario Pork Congress organizing committee as well. Kevin, welcome to the Back 40.
Thanks very much, Mike. It's a pleasure to be invited.
So you've been involved with the organizing committees of a couple of different shows. Most recently, we've seen quite a change in how we're going to be able to do business here. These trade shows have had to move to different venues. How's the Ontario Pork Congress approached that?
Last year, the Ontario Pork Congress was fortunate that we had 2 months lead time where we had to physically cancel the in-person show, but we elected to go forward with a virtual show, which took a lot of time and effort and dollars and cents to organize and find a platform to put it on. We also looked at how we had to deal with our exhibitors, our attendees, and our sponsors. We elected to refund all the exhibitors' fund for the show. We thought that was the right thing to do, being that there was not a show going forward. Yes, we did have some expense that we encountered, but the Ontario Pork Congress looked after that expense to show good faith to our exhibitors. Going forward with the virtual show, we did obtain some sponsors to assist us with the production of that show as far as dollars and cents is concerned. And one of the things that we did find out after the fact is that everybody thought that the presentation was well received, but it wasn't the same as bumping elbows at the physical trade show itself. So when we were discussing what we're going to do forward with 2021, because it's evident that the trade shows were not going to be able to go forward because the gathering sizes still are restricted from the provincial and federal governments. We chose not to use a virtual show and that we would physically cancel the show completely because we didn't see that there's an advantageous approach to hosting a virtual show this year. Our hope is that we'll be coming back in 2022 stronger than ever.
So you spoke about running a virtual trade show last year, and what were some of the challenges there, and where did you end up with finding a platform to run the show on?
So the virtual show last year, we had used various events from an educational standpoint, and we used Map Your Show to help us out to develop the platform needed to assist with exhibitors, sponsors. And then we had our technical support people assist in getting that platform that was needed to host that virtual show.
One of the challenges that we've run across from an industry standpoint here that we don't see a lot of traffic through into the virtual booths that the vendors put in there. That's been a challenge for everybody, hasn't it? Vendors aren't going to be too thrilled on buying booth space if they can't get people to their booth, are they?
That's correct. And that was one of the reasons why we chose not to host a virtual show this year as well, because we heard loud and clear from the exhibitors that they didn't see the benefit in the dollars and cents and labor that they put forward to develop that virtual space and actually monitor that virtual space. And then, of course, the costing for that package. There just wasn't enough benefit for the exhibitors to participate.
So did you have a decent number of farmers or people that came through the show that watched your educational series and actually participated in that last year? I'm assuming it was down from what you would expect from an in-person show, but did you have lots of people that took advantage of it anyway?
We had quite a number of people that did take advantage of the virtual show. Yes, the numbers were down dramatically. It didn't come close to what we would see in an in-person show. And when we talked to the attendees, it was evident that that type of show was not of an interest to them. And they basically said that we need to have the bumping of elbows in person at a trade show to make it worth their while.
This is as much a social event as it is an industry education event or a chance to see technology, though, isn't it? That ability to get out there and we see the vendors and we see different farmers and to get a chance to talk with them.
That's correct, Mike. The social side of things in the pork industry is second to none. Being able, as attendees, to be able to talk to different exhibitors about similar products and weigh the pros and the cons out for them moving forward to purchase a product. You can't see that on a computer. You physically got to be in person to be able to see the demonstration and the product at hand.
And from a vendor standpoint, if someone wants to have a look at my product virtually or online, they'll go to my website. That doesn't necessarily lend itself well to that personal contact that we do get at the trade shows, a chance to meet our customers and our potential customers.
That's exactly right. It's a starting foundation going to the website and doing a little bit of research, but that in-person discussion with the potential clients and the observation of the product is second to none. That in-person situation is tenfold as far as the customer is concerned and the exhibitor, because once it's all said and done, that exhibitor hopefully has a lead to follow up on after the trade show is complete.
Yes, and we get a tremendous number of people that come into our booth in particular just because they're walking by on the way to somebody else's booth. A lot of people go through these shows to see what's there and they stop at various exhibitors based on what they may feel at that very moment, where they wouldn't necessarily just click on that in a virtual situation. They would go to just the ones they thought they were interested in, wouldn't they?
That's exactly correct. And you look at the in-person trade show situation, you're physically observing, and there might be something that catches your eye that is there that you didn't actually even go to the trade show for. It's a situation where it's better for the exhibitor and for the customer to be able to make that connection is the best way of putting it, and following up on that connection, whereas you don't see that same traffic on the web.
Yeah, and you don't feel the buzz too. There's a certain energy within the building there because there's lots of people around. There's a chance to talk to farmers, see neighbors, see people you haven't maybe seen for a year that live further away, and that's where you meet up with them often is at a trade show, isn't there?
Yes, that's true. And the interaction and camaraderie with various people, whether it be exhibitors discussing with exhibitors, or whether it's attendees with attendees. And you're right, there is a lot of people that come from far afield to see the show because it's specific in this case with the Pork Congress. It's agriculture and it's the pork industry. They see similar people and similar exhibitors.
Now, the organizing committee for the Ontario Pork Congress has made the decision that you're not going to hold a show this year. What sort of discussions went on in the background there? Was there a thought that you might try and run a virtual show again this year? Or was that something that you looked at immediately and said, no, we can't do that?
That was a discussion that we had on multiple occasions, Mike. We analyzed what was said about the virtual show from 2020. And looked at how we could do things maybe a little better to be a little more enticing. And we also had to look at the cost factor. Once we weighed everything out, it was evident the cost factor far outweighed what positive response we would get from the exhibitors and the attendees. It just wasn't something that we felt was possible.
Very difficult to bring in enough income to organize and hold the show without putting at risk being able to organize an in-person show next year then.
That's exactly true. So we have to look at, from our financial situation, as to what cost factor was going to be affected and how it was going to affect going forward in years to come. We're of the opinion that we made the right decision to proceed and cancel the Ontario Pork Congress show completely this year. We're looking forward to a stronger and better show in 2022, as long as the health side of things is much different than it is today. We also had to look at the health and safety of our volunteers, our exhibitors, our attendees, and of course, the facility personnel. We felt that that was the best thing that we had to do.
None of us are really sure what's going to be happening with the pandemic and what the health restrictions are going to be even a month from now, much less what they'll be a year from now. Trade shows could look considerably different when we come back to them.
Yeah, and that's something that as part of the Pork Congress Committee, we've always wondered, are we going to have a trade show that's as good, if not better, than what we've had in the recent past? And I've talked to some exhibitors as well. And there's some uncertainty as to how things are going to go forward, given the fact that some of the exhibitors have found other avenues to market the product and spend their money marketing that product. They just don't know if the trade show industry is going to be something that they would continue in. I've done a little bit of canvassing myself a little bit. I'm of the opinion that the trade shows will come back stronger than what they have been because we've been kind of sitting in limbo for a couple of years. People want to bump elbows again.
That social aspect, I think, is the part that everyone is missing, that opportunity to get together as a community or as an industry group. And I think you're right. I think that's something that as we go forward here, people are going to want to get back and have a chance to meet with people again.
That's right. One of the things that there's no question within the building side of the industry right now, it seems to be fairly strong, although our costs for construction has kind of gone through the roof. And hopefully we don't find some producers in some precarious positions as a result. The building will continue.
There's been quite a change in the OPC over the years. When I started going as an exhibitor and working booths, we had in the neighborhood of 15,000 to 16,000 pork producers in Ontario. And we're down to 1,600 or in that range now. And that's seriously affected how you've gone about putting on a show over the years too, hasn't it?
Yes, we've went through some peaks and valleys, I guess is about the best way of putting it, Mike. Quite a number of years ago, there was some people that kind of thought, is the Pork Congress going to be around? There has been some creative challenges. There's been some excellent people that have come up through the ranks in the volunteer side of things and come up with lots of different ideas that have worked out extremely well and has put the Pork Congress in the position they are today as far as exhibitor size and numbers. And you're right, the actual number of producers is dwindled quite a bit. The producers that are left are the bigger ones. They still need to do the purchasing. Trade shows are a viable avenue for them to do that.
Even though the show is significantly different than it was 20, 25 years ago in terms of the size and number of people that are in the industry, that's still a good show. It's smaller, but the people that are there are dedicated to the industry, and this is a very important spot for them to get together to see the new technology and talk to people about all the things that are going on in the industry.
That's right. The discussions that attendees and exhibitors have on an ongoing basis at the show is second to none. I think if there wasn't a show, it would be a detriment to the industry in general.
Now, different shows have reacted differently to the pandemic and have gone forward with it in different ways. Some shows have made the decision that they would put the exhibitor's entry fee forward to the next show. You at the Ontario Pork Congress, you took a different approach to that, though. You chose to refund the money to the exhibitors. What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, it was twofold. One being is the trade show didn't go forward. So the exhibitors put out that money for the trade show in June of 2020. And it was evident that the show wasn't going forward. And the other component that everybody has to look at is the Ontario Pork Congress is a nonprofit organization. And from a financial standpoint, we have to be very careful as to how we do things. In this particular case, we felt that we had to refund the money to the exhibitors to be fair to them. If we hadn't done that, then there was always that possibility, would they come back in the years to come? Well, I think we're in a better position, being that we did refund the exhibitor dollars to them. There's some exhibitors that took us up on the virtual show package. Some were pleased, some weren't. But it's better for us to be able to refund those dollars to the foundation of our show, is the exhibitor.
Do you like what you're hearing from the Back 40? We'd like to hear from you. Send us an email with your comments and thoughts to theback40@trilliummutual.com or follow us on social media at Trillium Mutual. You touched on earlier that one of the issues that we could run into is that the vendors have found other places to put their marketing dollars. And that could be an issue going forward, that we've found another place to put our dollars. We're not sure whether we want to go back to the trade shows. We've been successful, particularly the building industry has been quite successful, and there's been quite a building boom, and they've been busy. That's going to be an issue going forward, isn't it? That some may decide not to come back just because they feel they've found an effective way to spend their dollars elsewhere, isn't it?
Yeah, that is very possible. One of the things that I look at is the fact that in the years to come, competition is going to be very steep. One of the best ways for competitors to try and attract new customers, existing customers, is to demonstrate the product at a trade show. The attendees can, in some cases, see the differences side by side. Whereas if an attendee isn't able to do that, they're going to maybe take the path of least resistance and go to the exhibitor they know. And if they feel satisfied with what they hear and the cost product is there, they may choose just to go to one particular vendor. Whereas at the trade show, you got multiple vendors. So it's more advantageous for that attendee to make a choice with a particular product that they wish to purchase.
Fair to say that some of these marketing initiatives may have been successful because we don't have that opportunity through trade shows to compare side by side. These marketing initiatives have been effective, but when we start getting that ability to compare in person on the same day two different products, that could drive the vendors back to that, and those other marketing initiatives might not be as effective as they have been.
That's true, because the consumer is kind of restricted as to what they can and can't do currently because of the pandemic. Once the pandemic is not, how would you put it, it's not a restriction that's still in place for people to make choices, then yeah, the trade shows, I think, will come back stronger than ever. There's going to be some industries that maybe won't, but I feel on the ag side of the industry, the trade shows are certainly beneficial.
It's one of the few opportunities that we get to have a group of farmers together in one spot that's a captive audience that we're able to promote our products to. That's something that you don't get very often. Farmers tend to be isolated a little more than the normal population just because of the nature of their job. So you do have problems marketing to them and finding them. You have to rely on social media and print advertisement, radio advertisements in order to get your message to them. And trade shows are a great opportunity that you can market to everyone that shows up to them.
That's true. And you've hit a very interesting point with the radio and the print ad and the social media. That's all good to attract the consumer to your particular business. But then the consumer's wanting to compare. You can't compare on the print ad or the radio or social media. And that's where the in-person show is going to bring the need for the consumer to them.
Now, from a financial aspect, these shows are expensive to put on, and a large percentage of that money gets put out the door before anybody comes in to see this trade show. You have to have the setup costs, you have to have your marketing costs in order to make the trade show effective, and there needs to be some seed money in order to start that up. That's going to be an issue for some of the trade shows out there, isn't it? That because their trade shows haven't gone forward and they were at various stages in preparing for them when we shut everything down last year, some of these trade shows may run into some financial issues. What do you see as the future? Are we going to see some of these trade shows not make it back at the end of the pandemic?
There's always that possibility. And, you know, Mike, it comes right down to managing your own situation. On the Port Congress side, we were fortunate that we were 2 months out. And yes, we had spent a considerable amount of money, and we had received a good chunk of the exhibitors' money. We were able to discontinue some of the expenses that we would have encountered. Then there were some trade shows that it was within 2 weeks of the show, and they had to cancel. And there was a number of expenses that were already encountered and couldn't be refunded. It comes down to the management and how much of money you've got set aside for a rainy day in the event that something like this happens.
The timing makes a tremendous difference there. As you say, that reserve fund is huge as to whether or not you're going to be able to get back up in business again. I think that most of us assumed last year when we saw these trade shows being canceled that this would be a one-year deal and we'd be back at the trade shows again this year. And of course, that's not happened. And based on where we are right now, it doesn't appear that it's going to happen necessarily for any shows this year. And that puts quite a financial strain onto the bottom line for a lot of these shows.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It comes down to, is it a nonprofit show or is it a show that is ran independently for profit? In our case, as far as the Port Congress is concerned, we have made a decision for the 2021 show, knowing from a management standpoint that we couldn't actually go forward because of the amount of money that we would spend, and it was going to hurt us in the years to come. In this particular situation with, say, for-profit organizations, they could be financially strapped as to whether or not they could host the show again next year.
They'll be very much like some other businesses. Restaurants come to mind that have had to make some serious changes. Travel industry, where there really hasn't been anything for a year and more, it's very difficult to keep the doors open. There's certain costs that you're going to incur no matter what, aren't there?
Yes, that's exactly true. You're always going to have your base costs that are going to be incurred annually regardless. You just have to have enough funds set aside to accommodate that. And you're right, the restaurant industry has suffered dramatically, and along with the tourism, they haven't had virtually any income for the past year. It's hard for organizations to still function without any income for an entire year.
I know the hope in all of those industries is that when people have the opportunity to get back out and socialize again, that all of those industries are going to come back. There's a pent-up demand for them that people are going to want to go and eat. They're going to want to travel. They're going to want to come to trade shows. It is going to be who managed to survive for that year and a half to 2 years where nobody was spending any money in those areas.
That's true. The way I look at it, with the trade show industry in general, it's 2 years because I don't see any trade shows happening for the balance of 2021. So it's going to be into 2022 before there is ever a trade show that's going to be hosted again. You're right. It's going to be difficult.
And speaking to people within the industry and some of the trade shows, if the trade show focus is mostly on being in the booths and seeing the different vendors, that's been very difficult. Some of the ones, though, that provide more as their focus has been the education and the trade show is sort of secondary, they've been more successful in managing to keep these shows going because people are still interested in the education aspect of it. And some have even seen more people that have come through because there's an opportunity that they don't have to travel to the show and they can pick and choose what it is they want to see without dedicating that full day to it. That's something that those shows are still going to struggle with, the fact that vendors from a virtual standpoint have difficulty getting any traction with the people that are going for the education portion.
That's true, Mike. The education is an important asset for any industry, but the exhibitors don't see any traffic to their exhibit. They don't get to see the people in person, and they don't see the benefits for being involved in the educational side of things to make things happen with sales and what have you within their own company. So it's difficult to be able to attract exhibitors to participate. from an industry standpoint, there's no question on the pork industry. We still need to do some educational things, but the exhibitors are not willing to participate, which I can't say is a blame them because there's no return to that.
That's going to change if we manage to keep the virtual events going. They're not going to look like what we think they would have a year ago. There's going to have to be a drastic difference in how we present that information.
Yes, in the trade show industry in general, it's going to be up to the event organizers to be able to demonstrate to the exhibitors and to the attendees the reason why they need to be there. And if we as event organizers can't demonstrate to the exhibitors or to the attendees, then there's going to be a problem for us to be able to continue the show.
So you're looking at running the show again in 2022. We're hopeful that we're out of the worst of the pandemic and we're able to get back to doing these shows again. Have you discussed any of the changes that you're looking at making to the show as a result of what you've learned over the past two shows that haven't been able to take place in person?
We haven't discussed any changes that we would make to the Ontario Pork Congress at this point. I think it's too early. We just made the announcement not too long ago that the 2021 show wasn't going to go forward because we ultimately the gathering size was still going to be restricted. And we have to worry about the health and safety of our exhibitors and our attendees and the event staff. That's going to be some discussions that we're going to be entertaining at the board level and canvassing to personnel in the industry in the months to come.
So much of that is going to depend on what sort of restrictions and what sort of freedoms that we have based on how the pandemic proceeds as to how we get together in the future, isn't it?
There's no question. And one of the things that I see that doesn't matter if it's trade shows or hockey organizations, we have to develop a plan to reintroduce the trade shows to the industry. We also have to have plans in place for the health and safety of our attendees, our exhibitors, and event staff, because that's going to be crucial that we demonstrate to the general public. We have got a show that is going forward, and here's the precautions that are in place to protect everybody. That's going to be a key point in my mind, that we have to be able to demonstrate to government and to the industry in general to make sure that we're doing things right and that we are going to be successful in doing so.
Our attitudes towards public gatherings have changed quite a bit over the last year. I know from my own standpoint where we used to talk to people and shake hands and the normal interactions that we would have. Now we respect that 6-foot distance. We don't shake hands. We're all wearing masks, of course, but that changes entirely how people feel about getting together in one spot.
And everybody's tolerance level, I guess, is maybe a good word to put towards the pandemic, and their individual needs are certainly in the foreground. And we have to respect that because I just use work on a day-to-day basis. I have to respect the wishes of my client. Do we wear masks? Do we do a Zoom call? Do we do it in person? Everybody is different and everybody's got different health concerns. And if you don't respect it, then you're going to be in trouble.
And that maybe has the biggest implication for how trade shows look in the future.
You're exactly right. We have to look at the broad spectrum and make sure that everybody's concerns and challenges are met. And then we look at how we can implement and try to have everybody's best interests at hand.
I'm looking forward to the day when we can get back out to the trade shows, we can get back out and meet with our customers and meet with other industry people. Kevin, I want to thank you for taking time today to speak to us. If people are interested in finding out more about the Ontario Pork Congress, where can they go to find more information?
Mike, the best way is our webpage, porkcongress.on.ca, and you also can see us on Facebook and Twitter. Those are the best ways to find out current and up-to-date information as to what's transpiring with the Ontario Pork Congress and the upcoming show in 2022. Once we get closer to determining what 2022 is going to look like, those are the places that you'll be able to, as exhibitors and attendees, find out the most current information that is known to the public.
You've been listening to The Back 40, and we've been speaking with Kevin Varley around some of the issues that we're seeing with the trade shows in the agricultural community.
Thanks very much, Mike.
Join us next time when our guest will be Krista Kressman from Jersey, Canada. You've been listening to The Back 40, brought to you by Trillium Mutual Insurance. Be sure to subscribe to The Back 40 wherever you find your favorite podcasts so that you don't miss an episode. The Back 40, bringing the ag community together one podcast at a time. I'm Mike Brine. Until next time, take care and stay safe.